Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As I walked into her room on Friday, she looked up at me from a series of post-it notes that she'd been scribbling on. I'm writing out the timeline of my life because my family's having a birthday party for me. Cherry Fields will be 90 years old in May. Now, I'm probably biased, but I think we have some of the most amazing 90-year-olds I have ever met in our congregation. Cherry calls me from time to time when she doesn't agree with something the preacher has said during Sunday morning worship at the nursing home. It's usually too conservative for her taste, she says. When she has a book to recommend, when she has a question about something that was in the epistle, which she reads faithfully twice every month, when she wants to talk about the theology that comes up in her Bible study group, again, usually because they are not as progressive as she is. This past week, she called to request that I return a book that she'd lent me several months ago called Being Mortal. They were doing a book study on it where she lives, and so she wanted to take part. So could I please bring the book back? Have I mentioned how amazing our 90-year-olds are? Cherry was married to a Disciples of Christ minister for many, many years, and so when we get together, we usually trade back and forth a few "you might be a pastor if" stories. This week she said, "You know, I really like Palm Sunday better than Easter." It was almost like it was a confession. It's true. She said, "Everybody gets to participate in Palm Sunday, all the kids waving palm branches, the songs, and no one is too dressed up. On Easter, everyone's so worried about how they look with their fancy dresses and new hats, but not on Palm Sunday." Cherry, I know you'll listen to a recording of this sermon eventually, so hear me say this. One, I agree with you, and two, you're awesome. Palm Sunday is one of my favorites too, and everyone does get to play a part. There's no use wearing our best clothes when we're just going to get caught up in the crowds anyway. We read this morning from Mark's Gospel. You're welcome to still use your palm for the hosannas. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, there you will find a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say to them, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back immediately.'" And they went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing, untying that colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming king of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Say it with me. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Then Jesus entered into Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. There's a crowd that's with Jesus coming into Jerusalem. They aren't really the locals, so to speak. They were the people that Jesus had picked up along the way, those who had joined the movement on their way to Jerusalem. For their part, they lay coats over the donkey that has been retrieved with a special password from the disciples: "Jesus needs it." Some lay their cloaks on the ground. Others cut down whatever branches they can find. It's a shouting, enthusiastic crowd. Now, the Jesus party is coming into Jerusalem from the east, from Bethany and Bethphage. Then there's the crowd on the other side of the street, so to speak, Compared to the ragtag peasant parade protesting in the East, the people coming in from the West look like a military parade. Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, entered Jerusalem at the head of a column of imperial cavalrymen, soldiers, legionnaires on horseback, Roman standards flying, the Roman eagle prominently displayed, the clank of armor, the beating of drums. The procession was designed to be a display of imperial power. The armies were coming to protect the people throughout the festival of the Passover. Now, if you can imagine those two parades, the palm-waving, ragtag crowd, the military parade of imperial power, can you imagine which direction you might have been coming in from? I don't know. I always picture myself as part of the Jesus crowd. Men and women, children, young and old, all shouting praises and cheering on their leader. I've heard it described as kind of this guerrilla-style street theater. And yet, even in the middle of all that cheering, there's some playfulness, right? There are the branches. There's joyfulness. There's the cry, the unmistakable cry of Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. I like that. Save us. Save us. You can picture it. The playful cheers, the celebratory looks on their faces, intermingled with the reality that deep within them, they were there because they wanted to be saved. They wanted to be saved from their oppression. They wanted to be saved from whatever despair would creep into their dreams at night. They wanted to be saved from being unable to imagine a different kind of future for their children. If you put it all together, it doesn't sound entirely different from, well, today and yesterday and the day before that. Students across the country waving their palm branch protest signs, shouting, "Save us! Save us!" Student organizers, including our own Eric Nottingham at Loveland High School, have been coming in from the East, gaining support as they go for their message that school safety is too important to defer to those in positions of power. Although Friday's walkout for the Thompson Valley School District culminated in the park, I can tell you those students did not come to play. We were outnumbered as some of the few adults in the crowd, but we heard the message from our students loud and clear. Hosanna. Save us. Save us. Put more mental health counselors in schools. Change laws for more responsible gun ownership and school safety. And if you won't, we will. I can't imagine that even Jesus' crowd of followers could have been as well organized as these students. Their messages aren't all that different. We are all in need of saving. We are all in need of saving from ourselves, from our systemic sins, from our lust for power, from our desensitization to violence, from our obsession with more, even when we have enough, from our idolatry of individualism. And then there's what we need saving for: a more just world, a shorter fence and a longer table, a more connected community, a reorientation toward radical love, a more hopeful future. And the hard part of heading into Holy Week is that we know the whole story. We have heard it before. We know that the very ones who shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, save us," ultimately can't save Jesus or themselves from being caught up in a crowd fueled by fear and driven by the desire to maintain the status quo for those in power. We wave our palms today, but before the week is through, we taste the broken bread that gives way to betrayal and denial and abandonment. We kneel in the garden, And then we witness the trial and the beating and the carrying of the cross, the nails and the spear and the sour wine. Have you ever wondered if it would be any different if this whole Jesus movement were happening now instead of then? If we somehow could know the whole story in advance, would we act any differently? Would we try to call the whole thing off? Nadia Boltz-Weber says, no, not likely. Even though we know the whole story, if you and I were the ones on the street, we would be shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest, just as loudly as a few days later, we would yell, crucify him. Which, believe it or not, is a bit of good news. Because these people of the Holy Week story are people like us. And people like us are the ones God has come to save. Thanks, God. God didn't become human and dwell among us as Jesus to only save new and improved people, people who don't make the wrong kind of choices. There's no improved version of humanity that could have done anything any differently. So go ahead, Nadia says. Don't wait until you think your motivations are correct. Don't wait until you think you've figured out the mystery or until you understand every single line of the Lord's Prayer that we pray every Sunday. Don't worry about coming to church this week for the right reasons. Just wave branches. Shout praise for the wrong reason. Eat a meal. Have your feet washed. Grab at the coins. Shout, crucify him. Walk away with Peter when the cock crows. Blessed are those who come as they are in the name of the Lord. Because it's people like us, not some improved version of us, some more faithful version of us that God came to save. And really, at this point, there's nothing that can stop what's going to happen.